Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, how do they soften up Optus Stadium? What is Frio's player replacement tipping point? Should Hill and Bennell be playing AFL this week? The Tigers hit rock bottom with injuries, and where are we at with mental health in the AFL?
That was out of bounds!
I don't believe it! I see it, but I don't believe it!
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is!
The stadium holds its breath!
It's Duff and Quarters!
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello everybody. It's Thursday morning, which means it's time this week for the second edition of the Duff and Quarters podcast. We're brought to you by Tab Touch. We've had a good warm up to this broadcast. We've been talking about Bill and Ben, the Flowerpot Men, the Magic Roundabout,
in the Night Garden,
Mr. Squiggle,
Teletubbies, yeah.
Bit of Tinky Winky thrown in there.
Yeah, might have had some assistance creating those programs, I think.
we're up and about. It might have been sort of Essendon circa 2012. There might have been a supplements program when they were doing those.
If you've watched in the Night Garden, I think you've got no... That's the conclusion you draw.
Okay, so we're going to try and tip you a few winners today. We didn't do so well last week. It was pretty tough round. There was a few games that went against us. But Quarters... went down to Coburn this morning. Ross Lyon was talking, and obviously the things we were asking him about were the Optus Stadium surface, whether Stephen Hill and Harley Bennell will be playing this week, and whether Sean Darcy and Griffin Logue will be playing this week. And the answers are Griffin Logue plays, barring mishap between now and Saturday. Sean Darcy plays. Obviously, they will take the places of the injured Alex Pearce and Rory Lobb. He's not sure about Stephen Hill. He'll be named in the squad, but not sure whether he will be in the team. And Harley Bennell goes around at Peel again, so he'll play his third game.
Third game.
Yep.
Seems like he's been back a bit longer than that.
And on the stadium surface, there's going to be a summit between West Coast and Fremantle where they're going to discuss how they get a better result out of that. He said it's not solely responsible for the injuries that they've had, but... He said, at the start of the year, it is very, very hard, and then it softens as the year goes on. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of
it. Having played on the surface, a bit of touch rugby, there's no doubt it's a hard surface, no doubt. Devil's advocate, though. They did win a flag last year, the Eagles. The surface didn't hurt them too much last year.
They did win a flag, but they ended the season with, I think, three blokes with foot problems. Mm. And they, coming into early this season... stress fractures for Willie Rioli, stress fractures for Tommy Barris. And I think what happens with these things become cumulative.
Yep.
So I think with Lobb, Tabiner for the second year in a row with stress fractures going down, Lobb with stress fractures, even Alex Pearce, when you look at how Alex Pearce supposedly suffered that fractured ankle, it's hard to believe that wasn't a cumulative thing over time as opposed to just one incident which creates a fracture in the ankle.
Mm.
So I think there will be a lot of talking done, and I think the talking won't stop and the noise won't stop until there is a significant softening in the Optus Stadium surface.
Duff, do they also have to look at Lathlane and Coburn? Because there's talk that those surfaces are also hard.
There's definitely Coburn. Fremantle felt Coburn was hard last year. They feel that as the surface has settled, it's gotten better. And I'm guessing that West Coast would be thinking a similar thing will happen at Lathlane, given that that's also a new surface.
Mm.
And they do feel there's an element of that to it. Yes, there's no doubt that the waffle players that play at Lathlane believe that is a very hard surface as well. And maybe, you know, I don't
know. This is the new surface, but that's adjacent to the old Lathlane Oval.
No.
The actual Lathlane Oval itself.
They're both the MCG size oval at Lathlane and the Optus Stadium size oval at Lathlane. They're new surfaces, so they were both redone. And they were redone to mimic the Optus Stadium surface. So they're both very hard.
Yeah, so the Optus Stadium surface is the venue in which Perth play.
Correct.
Is the Optus Stadium size.
That's right.
Yes,
yep.
And the MCG size is the...
And that is where the Eagles usually train, the Optus Stadium.
Yep.
There might be some rehab players running on the other one over the back.
Or they can switch over there leading up to an MCG game.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back onto the Frio, who are playing this week, of course. So what's the tipping point, Duff? We're talking, so if they were to bring, so they're bringing in Logue and Darcy, which they have to bring the two of them back
and,
in.
And possibly Hill.
So what's your call on it? I mean, my call is four players, maybe three. Three's probably it for me, new players coming in. And we're talking about players who haven't played for a considerable length of time, not players that have been out for a week. I reckon three, four is probably the absolute maximum because you're really creating a difference to the side from the previous encounter.
Well, clearly it's not going to be four unless two people fall over at training between now and the game. It's going to be three maximum.
So and, most and likely Hill, if he plays.
He's a possibility. Yeah. I mean, from the noises Ross was making this morning, I get the feeling Hill is definitely no certainty to play AFL. Yep. He will play somewhere. And obviously Peel play against South Fremantle on Saturday down at Rushton Park or David Gray's Arena, as it's now known. They clearly feel Harley needs more time. I suspect it's going to be heavily tag time, given what he did last time out at Subiaco. Mm. I don't think any waffle club is going to let him run around unmolested after that. But they probably want to get him more than probably the number of touches he gets. They'll want to see what his GPS numbers are and what his repeat run numbers are and what sort of running intensity he's getting to.
But I get that. What's the value in Hill playing, Stephen Hill playing there?
In the waffle?
Yep.
Well, he may play AFL yet. So Ross has declared he will be in the squad. But what he did say is there has to be rigour and integrity around selection. He said the last time out they beat Collingwood on the MCG. He said most of them played very well. And he said they want to protect that integrity of selection. He did say that Stephen
Hill... That's a fair call too. They did play very well.
He did say that Stephen Hill is one of his three favourite players at the club, behind Brad Hill and Sonny Walters. So he would love to play him. And he said
behind Bradley Hill?
Behind Bradley Hill, yes.
Okay.
I would have him in front, but Bradley Hill is having an exceptional season.
Yeah, I'm not sure how quickly we forget.
Yeah.
He's a good player, Stephen Hill.
He's a magnificent player, magnificent ball user, which I think, and this is one of the reasons why I think, if I'm Fremantle, I want both Hill and Bennell in there as quickly as possible because I think ball carriers, ball users, they will make the job of the forwards easier and that will bring players like Jesse Hogan into the game. Interesting one, Quarters, for me. I think they're going to go with Sean Darcy and Brennan Cox in the ruck. Would you be tempted against Paddy Ryder and Scotty Lysette to include the second ruckman?
I would, but then you're talking about that team balance that Ross Lyon's referring to is only to start a go that they beat Collingwood at the G.
Yep.
Not a bad side, Collingwood.
Yeah.
So you're talking about two quality ruckmen you're playing against, so there's real temptation there, but I'm just probably thinking just for team balance, no.
Darcy comes back. I'm not sure that he's played a waffle game since he suffered the ankle injury.
So about 4 weeks?
About 3 or 4 weeks,
and
yeah.
Round four he played last AFL? Was it
He would have been ready to go last week, I think. So he's probably had a pretty solid week's training under his belt. Obviously did a solid pre-season and was good to go, you know, for round one. Played round one, round two. And essentially, rather than how he was going, it was more about they felt they could only, with the talls in the team, they changed the team balance and they went with one less tall and he was the one that got squeezed out. So I wouldn't say it's lack of form that that ruled him out. I think what we would say, it's a massive opportunity for Darcy and Griffin Logue. You know, 10 games to really make your name in the AFL.
Well, it is. And it's a shame for Lobb because Lobb was having a terrific season. Probably not in the position we thought he'd be playing, but that's a real loss to Freo. And hopefully they don't taper off in the second half because they've got to this point. And I think they've already, in my opinion, overachieved to what I thought they'd be at this point.
Yep.
So I don't think it's going to be lost ground regardless of what happens. But I hope that we don't get to that tipping point because it's starting to get that way.
Yeah, as I've said a number of times, I had them for 10 wins at the start of the season. I think if they get to 10 wins, I think they can give the season a tick. And I think that anything north of that, I'm just concerned whether they can get north of that now. I think that, you know, Alex Pearce is going to be a massive loss. And it's a massive job for Griffin Logue to come in cold and basically fill those boots.
Yeah, what a pity for Pearce too, who would clearly have been in line for All Australian honour. In line for them.
Certainly
in the squad of 40, no question.
Yeah, I think so. But look, I really rate Harris Andrews. Yeah,
same. But
And there is a bloke called Jeremy McGovern who people have gone very sour on over the last 7 days after his game.
Darcy Moore as well has had a good year.
Alex Keith.
Yeah, Alex Keith as well. Yeah, absolutely.
So there's a few floating around.
Yeah. Interesting. A bit happening interstate as well. John Longmire's name continues to be mentioned with the North Melbourne coaching post. Very interesting metaphor from the Swans chairman, Andrew Pridham, today, talking about...
Nothing to do with Osprey Hawks?
Nothing to do with Osprey Hawks stuff. Glad you got that one in. that's a segue we won't go to. Just an interesting choice of third. He mentioned that John Longmire's obviously contracted to 2020, to the end of 2020, and he'd like to extend the contract further. But he said, look, North can do what they like. You can go to a marina and look at a fancy yacht, but it doesn't mean you're going to get it.
Correct.
So I think my call on John Longmire is I think he's staying in Sydney. I think this is doing him no harm for his contract extension either.
Absolutely. And look, John Longmire will be looking at his squad now and he'll be thinking, well, you know what, we found a couple. We know that Heaney is a great player. We know that Callum Mills is going to be a great player. Tommy Papley is a very, very good small forward stroke midfielder.
Hewitt goes all right too.
George Hewitt is a terrific player.
By the way, Blakely goes all right too.
He'll be very handy in a couple of years, I think.
It's handy now, but very sporadically. But in a couple of years, I don't think he's going to be a player that dominates over four quarters.
No.
I might be wrong, but I think he's going to be a player who has a quarter or two that breaks games open.
And I'll tell you what else he will be. He will be a player that their forwards will love leading to.
Oh, I already do.
The way he kicks the ball.
Geez, there was a couple of nice ones to Bud too last week. Oh, he uses the ball so well.
A guy that tall, who's that quick, who kicks the ball that well, that guy has to be a good AFL player. So they found a couple. I think they're a bit healthier than people thought in terms of their list. And John Longmire, well, let's face it, he's a New South Wales boy.
He is.
He's been there a long time now. He'll be very at home.
Played Origin for New South Wales all those years ago.
They beat the Vics.
Yes,
the
they SCG. Did. They did. Pretty decent side too. Had the Danahers.
Correct.
John Longmire.
Did Wayne Carey play for New South Wales that day?
I reckon he might have, yeah. So he's a pretty decent side.
Pretty fair goal to goal on.
I has had great success at Sydney. He's settled in Sydney. It would take a lot to prize him away.
Yeah, I agree. Proud North, they just can't sort of... attracted big name. But you know what?
You know what? The bloke there might be all right.
Well, exactly. I think Reece Shaw, what he's done in the first 2 weeks, he's shown a bit, and another big challenge for him this week.
Better coaching record than Norm Smith at the moment.
So let's move on to the weekend's games because, Quarters, you've talked about Richmond reaching a tipping point.
Yes.
They are now a tip truck, I think.
Well, they tipped my pants around my ankles last week because I picked them. And,
you always go to the pants around the ankles.
Well, they're $4.10. I'm just... they've lost Cochin and Edwards.
You're not going to tip them again, are you?
No, but geez, when I look at $4.10 and I look at everything points to Richmond not winning this game, and Adelaide fifth on the ladder in some pretty good form at home... Oh, it's tempting, I can tell you. It is really tempting. I'm picking Adelaide in this game.
I was just about to mount an intervention. If you're going to go the Tigers again.
No, I'm picking them. But I don't think this is going to be a fait accompli. I think this won't be decided till late in the game. I'm going to pick the Crows. It's at home. They're in form. We saw their forwards. Well, at least Josh Jenkins play consistently last week. Tex had a bit of a cameo. It stood up when it counted in the last quarter. Not doing too much wrong, Adelaide. I do have concerns about them being a top four side in terms of what we get from week to week. We see their best, and it's pretty impressive, but we don't see it often enough. Richmond, I think, are seventh position, only 2 wins off second spot, a win off third spot, and percentage. So, that, you know, when we look at the Richmond and what's happened to them, that's a pretty good effort to be where they are right at the moment, but I think they're facing great adversity at the moment, and I'll be picking Adelaide this week, but expect they'll give a bit of a yelp, the Tigers.
Yeah, well, I'll go the devil's advocate on the only 2 wins off second. They're only 2 wins off 13th.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
As well, so look, I just think it's reached a point where they've got too many injuries. I think these are going to be tough times for the Tigers as. As Mickey Malthouse used to say, sometimes you're a windscreen, sometimes you're a bug. They're definitely bugs.
You know what? I reckon about 2-3 weeks into the year, we're talking about this, and sometimes these seasons define clubs, and you may know that you're now out of the mix for a flag, but you can still get a bit out of the year and yep. find something. And, you know, this is what maybe the rest of Richmond's year is about. So hang in there, Tigers fans. We're sure you won't be leaving at three-quarter time like you did last week. Every week. Oh, there was plenty of footage on Facebook. Don't worry. They're very, very vocal, the Richmond fans, on social media. And last week, they were a little quiet in the last quarter. I'll just point that out. It's always good to hang around to the final siren.
And also worth pointing out, they have had a very good run with injury in 2017, 2018. They basically... In their flag campaign in 2017, they almost got through the season injury-free. Their best 22 was just rolling out there week after week after week. So these things, you know, what goes around comes around in the AFL.
Now, this game's obviously tonight, Duff. Interesting that in a bye weekend with fewer games, there's a Thursday night game. I love Thursday night footy. Love it. And I think we should have Thursday night footy every week. But I like the elongated weekend. I really like the stretch. I find sometimes on a Saturday there's too much. But, you know, Thursday night's great for me. Just interesting that they've chosen the bye weekend.
I like Thursday night footy, but I think they should keep it as it is, where they carefully select weekends where, you know, and I don't know what the situation is in Adelaide tomorrow, whether it's a school day for kids. I think if you have it every week, and we're asking people on a Thursday night to go to footy when they've got to get the kids up for school and people have got to get up and go to work, I think there's going to be mediocre games in the middle of the season where there's going to be very small crowds and there's not going to be great TV audiences.
Might be pie floater public holiday, perhaps.
Possibly.
Yeah, could be. Have you had one?
I have, actually.
Yeah. They're 3 a.m. outside the casino.
They're a bit like kebabs, aren't they, the pie floater? That's usually where you decide to have one, and it's hard to tell whether it was good or not at that point in time.
Don't get it.
No?
No, never got it. But anyway, all the best to you. Enjoy it. Best things they have in Adelaide.
Do you eat it with your fingers or your knife and fork?
3 a.m. outside a casino, please. Don't give me the plastic cutlery, mate. I'm not interested. Best thing they have in Adelaide? It's a great idea. They don't have to my knowledge, anywhere else. You're playing pool with the boys, having a few beers, and the carts come around with cheese and sausages on them in Adelaide. It's like
at the pool halls.
It happens everywhere. No, just in pubs, just around the pool tables. They come around with these carts with little paper plates with the little cardboard plates. You have cheese and sausages. It's not good for you, but Jesus, manna from heaven when you're having a few beers playing pool. I tell you. Think about that.
Clearly, I've never played pool in Adelaide because I've never experienced the joy of that.
It's a bit different, Adelaide. But
yes. So we're both on Adelaide to beat.
We are,
the
but
Tigers.
I think it'll be closer than you think.
I don't think so.
Okay, fair enough. Friday. Ooh, Alistair Clarkson's calling it a cutthroat game. It's 10-11. Essendon v Hawthorn. Will it be a line in the sand game? Probably not. But it's. Talking about tipping points of the season, I mean, really, whoever loses this probably loses contact with that a bit, with that top eight. So, a lot to gain from this game. I believe Essendon are getting a few back. They're talking Stringer, they're talking Fantasia, and Hawthorn's still missing a few. I think it's a 50-50 game, and on that, I've got to pick my boys. It's a 50-50 game. Marvel Stadium too. I'm picking Hawthorn.
So, yes, well, his hair started to stand up on end, people, when he was doing that.
If it's a 50...
You could tell the hackles rising as he I reckon he started off, he was going to tip Essendon and he just couldn't bring himself to do it. I reckon
fair.
That's how it started.
That's fair.
I'm going to go with the Bombers. Yeah. I think if Hawthorn wins this, I think you can chalk this one up to Alistair Clarkson. I think that manpower says Essendon wins this game. So if Hawthorn finds a way, then Clarko's got a coaching
Hawks aren't
victory.
Going too badly. You know, their losses have been really competitive. Their wins have been impressive. Yeah, I reckon they're in this up to their eyeballs.
Okay.
You're Essendon, I'm Hawthorn.
Yep, definitely. And I think it'll be close. I think it'll be under 15 points. But I think if the Bombers are any good with the manpower available, they have to beat the Hawks.
Saturday in Townsville, Duff. So Gold Coast v St Kilda. St Kilda, who obviously played in China, I believe they've remained in the north and just acclimatised. So they're battle of the traditional rivals up there in Townsville. very tempted to go...
The local derby.
Very tempted to go to Gold Coast, who have lost eight in a row, but have been pretty good. Most of the losses have been pretty good. You know, they could be, what, they've won three by a kick, lost two by a kick. So it's been a pretty good effort by Gold Coast, who most of us thought pre-season, are they going to win a game? I thought they'd win a game, but maybe two. But so they've done pretty well. Last week, jumped by North early. We're very critical of that, but they did outscore them for the next three quarters, and North are playing pretty well at the moment. So every reason to pick Gold Coast. I'm going to go with St Kilda here. I have a bit of faith in them. Interestingly, with the Saints, won't be playing this week, but I've got a couple of names coming back, Hanbury and Carlisle through the VFL. So they're going to get a bit better, hopefully, with the inclusion of those players. And good to see Jack Stephen back with St Kilda as well. He's had some mental health struggles. He's back at the club. He's doing a mini pre-season, so it'll be about a month for him to regain sort of fitness. But good to have him back among the fold, and we wish him all the best, and we look forward to seeing him out there in the back half of the year because he's a good footballer.
Yep, I'm going to go with the Suns. Yep. And I accept all your arguments, and I don't think St Kilda have been terrible this year. I think they've been pretty competitive in most games.
I can't think of a game. Is there a game they've been flogged?
Yeah, in China.
China. Oh, of course, yes.
But they were crook.
They had a bug go through the club. So, but apart from China, apart from the aqueducts and apart from China, really, they've been pretty good this year. A lot better than I thought they'd be.
My argument for Gold Coast is that if I'm Gold Coast, I've been competitive in most games, fallen off the pace a little bit in against GWS two games ago, terrible in the first quarter last week, and then competitive after that. This, for me, this is a final. This is getting a Melbourne-based club in far north Queensland. This is a game you can win, and this is going to be one of few games you can realistically win between now and the end of the season. To break up the losses and try and get to four, five or six wins between now and the end of the season, this is a must-win game. Just because you've got to, at some point, I think Stuart Duke can coach, and I think they've done a terrific job in limiting the damage in their losses and being competitive in all the games. But every now and again, you've got to get the W.
You've got to frank it. Yeah, you've got to.
Every now and again. And this is one they can, and so I'm going to say the stakes are very high for them, and I think they can get up and win this game.
Frio v Port Adelaide at Optus Stadium. So this is one of those games. At Port, we saw the last effort they produced when they came to WA.
Yep.
They're in eighth position. They've got a lot of upside. There's an injection into that team this year. Midfield, you know, Dersmer and Rosie, some real talent there. I'm picking Frio. I'm concerned about their outs. I'm concerned about fresh legs coming in, players coming in who haven't played for a while, but I'm just loath to pick. It's a home venue pick for me, this one.
Mm.
And I think Fremantle have earned the right for that this year, so at this point of the season. Last outing, pretty impressive, beating Collingwood at the G. They're not going to lose too many at Optus. So, look, I have faith in them. Will it be another sunny late goal?
I'm the same. I just think... I think for Fremantle to have a chance of making the eight, these are the games they have to win. They have to take care of their home ground advantage, and they have to pinch a couple more on the road. If you go through their away fixtures, there's a couple more that are pinchable on the road, but they've got to take care of their home ground advantage. They've got to get to a point at the end of the season where they've won either eight, minimum eight, possibly nine of their home games, which means that, you know, they've lost to West Coast. They've got another derby coming up, which is going to be a very big ask. And they've got they've lost one to Richmond as well.
And they've beaten GWS in Canberra
and Collingwood at the MCG.
Two teams that could well play off in the GF this year. Could well.
So, that's a remarkable record. I think these are the ones they've got to win. If this was in Adelaide, I would have no hesitation in tipping Port Adelaide. At Optus Stadium in Perth, I'm going to go with the home team.
And clearly for Port, the advantage gain can be the ruck situation with Lycett and Ryder v. Darcy and Cox. Just some late-breaking news, Duff. Matthew Broadbent will be out indefinitely as he deals with a mental health issue. So yet again, the scourge of mental health in the AFL, and we wish him all the best and hope that he gets the help and the time away from the game that he needs.
So this is becoming a real problem for the AFL now, isn't it? It's the and clearly we need to look at the environment. And that means there are certain things they can change about their environments and there are certain things they can't change about their environments. The media scrutiny is now all-encompassing, I think, for players. So they've got to...
It is harder. It is harder in that regard for players now. And I would add social media to that. I think that's very, very significant in this.
And that's definitely uncontrollable.
My real concern, Duff, is 20, 30 years ago, even 10 years ago, there's no question mental health issues, but it just was swept under the carpet, wasn't even considered. You're weak if you don't play. It's a real... You look back at that and you think how much damage was done by not addressing this issue. So it's great that it's being addressed, but yes, it's the prevalence this year particularly. I think we're talking about summits, I think. And there's obviously a mental health officer being appointed by the AFL to oversee what they do. So that's a great start. But I think we do need to look at the environments in which AFL players find themselves now.
And, I love the term that Adam Simpson used to use for West Coast players last year. He used to talk about the club being a sanctuary for them, and that's the way they treated it. And whatever was happening outside, basically when the players got inside the four walls of West Coast, it was their protection. They were a unit. They were inside a bubble. They supported each other. They didn't turn on each other. They weren't about hanging each other for poor performance or for mistakes. It was a sanctuary for their players. And I think that's what every club has to strive for and get to, because clearly the pressures on them have changed dramatically with the advent of, you mentioned, social media. You know, you've got the big media rights deals now, which make media organisations feel like they should have more access to them and should have a bigger piece of them.
And with it, players earn more money.
Yep.
So there's a, you know, pros and cons to everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Players need to be aware that what they're buying and selling when those deals are reached, that they are big numbers involved and the media organisations involved have to get the bang for their buck. Otherwise, we shrink the final number for the media rights, the broadcast rights deal dramatically. And we say, okay, you can have a little bit more privacy and there'll be less media encroachment. But, that's something they need to be cognizant of. But also I would urge clubs to look at the West Coast model and treat their clubs as a sanctuary, treat their clubs as a place where players get supported by all around them. I certainly think Fremantle has moved towards that this year of the local clubs. Hopefully other clubs around the nation are doing a
I think most
thing.
Clubs are on the right track, Duff, if they're not already there. I think they do a pretty good job. So, good luck to Matthew. Carlton v. the Western Bulldogs at Marvel. It's only 8 weeks ago they played.
And Carlton 44-point
win to Carlton. I think the Dogs will have learnt from that. Great win last week by the Blues to reel back that deficit and beat Brisbane. We saw one of the great performances from Patrick Cripps. He played on the Bont and he helped himself to 37 and 11 clearances. So it was one of the good games, probably one of the three vote games for him this year against the Dogs last time. I think they'll go head to head again with the Bont. I hope he does.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I reckon my sure thing for this weekend, Quarters, given the events of last weekend and the events the last time they played.
Yes.
Paddy Cripps gets tagged. That is my absolute sure thing. Paddy Cripps will get it. Even if it's a Tommy Liberatore going to him at stoppages and making sure...
Keeping him a bit honest.
...that he doesn't dominate at the stoppages. I think that they will
I'm not sure. I think they'll learn other lessons from that. But it was... I think it'll be a Dogs win. I'm going to pick the Dogs here. I'm yet to... Obviously, one win doesn't... one swallow doesn't make a summer. So we'll see with Carlton. But you...
Two swallows makes an AFL football family, though.
Oh, there you go. Yes, it does.
I'm going to tip the Dogs. I think they will learn from that last time out. Really looking forward to the matchup, which will pit Aaron Norton against Jacob Wietering.
Yes.
It was very good last week.
So Norton just tapered off a little bit. Maybe hopefully the bye has helped him. Let's not forget he's in his second year of football. He plays a really difficult position, key position forward. He's a contested beast, so the way forward is huge for Aaron Norton. We're going to see great things of him. Not surprisingly, he tapered off a little. Let's hope we can see a bit more magic in the second half of the year.
Absolutely, and he's already proven that he can play, so now it's about being able to get him through seasons and being able to get him able to meet the different challenges that different teams will throw at him in terms of the way they defend him.
Lost three in a row leading into the bye, the Dogs too. So they need a win. They'll have seen this as an opportunity to arrest that slide.
Yeah, they're having a funny season, aren't they? Like, they've been competitive against a number of the top teams, and they've been ordinary against a number of the bottom teams. So I think the Gold Coast beat them as well. So they've been beaten by Carlton and Gold Coast.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they have.
And I think maybe Melbourne. Did Melbourne get them as well?
I reckon they might have. So they've beaten some good sides too. It's an amazing season from the Dogs.
Quarters, just as a byproduct of all that, Jared Pickett, top five draft pick from several years ago, South Fremantle boy, picked up by GWS, didn't make an impact there, went to Carlton. He kind of looked like he was going to get up and going at the end of last year, played a number of games, looked dangerous as a small forward, just doesn't seem to be able to find the hunger to play AFL footy. They've parted company. He's going to come home and be with his family. Hopefully we see him pop up at South Fremantle again.
How old is he?
He'd only be 21, 22.
So come back, have a spell, realign yourself in your home state, and you never know, he might reappear at AFL level here.
Yeah, have a think about how badly you want it. Yeah. I think that would be the advice you would give him. You know, take 2 or 3 months to think about how badly you want it, and then if you do want it, get fair income. He looked a bit heavy to me.
He did look heavy in the preseason. Yeah.
And that means you haven't done the work. You're not paying the right attention.
Didn't look heavy, Duff. He was heavy.
So hopefully we see more of Joe. He's a very talented player.
And good luck to him.
Yeah, very talented player.
Final game Sunday, Hobart. I suspect we're going to disagree on this one too, Duff. North Melbourne v GWS. I'm going to go. Look, big loss to North too with Higgins. He's very important to them. He's out for 5-6, I think, maybe longer with the shoulder.
Shoulder
surgery. He's a big loss. Playing really well, North. The last 3 weeks, actually, 2 weeks under Reece Shaw and prior to that under Scott, but in his last game. I'm not going to pick against them too often in Hobart.
But you're going to.
No, I'm not. I'm picking North to win this one.
Well, then we're going to agree. I'm picking North.
Okay, well, we agree. I was convinced you were going with the Orange Tsunami.
No, and I thought about it. And if I'd given more thought to the absence of Sean Higgins, I may well have gone with GWS. But I just think North's record in Hobart is so good. And it's such a unique set of conditions in Hobart with the bleak weather and the blustery wind. I think the blustery wind will upset GWS's run and ball movement.
Yeah.
And I think this will become a scrap, and it's going to be all about who's the more physical team. And I think North will be the more physical team.
A couple of key matchups, important matchups. Tarrant Jeremy Cameron, last time he held him goalless.
Yep.
And Goldstein, who's in really good form as he approaches a contract renewal, has had a very good year.
It's amazing how that happens, isn't it?
Against Mumford, and I took your point earlier in the week, Duff. Mumford, who we know what he gives GWS from a physical side of things, but perhaps his contribution around the grounds in kicks and handballs could be greater.
Well, so, I was laughing about the commentators. They were in raptures because he'd flattened someone earlier in the game. Riley O'Brien was one of the best players on the ground.
Yeah.
And Mummy couldn't get near it. So you can be as physical as you like, but if you can't get near it, you can't get near it. And I thought that was a real problem for GWS in that game. And he comes up against another very good ruckman having a very good season here.
Yeah, five zip at home, 3 from 4 interstate, including that loss in Canberra. So, I think, GWS, we know how much talent they got, but I get your point about the blustery conditions there. It's probably the most blustery conditions you'll face in footy, really, down there.
Correct.
It blows
everything else is just a light zephyr compared to what you get at home.
Have you played golf down there?
I would have no interest at all in
playing golf. I know some fantastic golf courses. I'm crap at golf, but I'm even worse when I play down there, I can tell you. It's tough conditions down there. Beautiful, beautiful golf courses down there.
I'm sure they are.
Great part of the world, Hobart.
But
cold, but great part of the world.
If it gets windy enough, you have trouble swinging the club.
Yeah.
Have you ever been for a swim down there, Quarters?
I have. Many years ago, I went down, did the overland track with my mates, which is a fantastic walk if anyone gets the opportunity, from Cradle Mountain down to Lake St Clair through the wilderness. Just amazing walk, about 5-6 days. And after that, we were down south, and it was cold time of the year, and we just jumped in the ocean just to see what it was like. And it was Cole, and there was shrinkage.
I was about to, you got in ahead of me there. I was going to ask if there were any significant changes to your anatomy as a result of the dip.
Oh, it was cold, but invigorating.
Invigorating, yes. I don't want to be invigorated that badly. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us this morning. We hope you tip well. We hope we've been of some assistance to you with your tipping. We certainly wouldn't have been last week, but we'll be back on Tuesday to dissect what comes out of the round. It's going to be a significant round, I think, for Fremantle in particular, of the local teams. Obviously, West Coast have the bye, and you can read my review of the first half of the season in Saturday's paper. Look forward to joining you again on Tuesday. We've been brought to you by Tab Touch. Thank you very much to them, and hope your team goes well.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.